Welcome everyone to this WebSphere Support Technical Exchange session. Today's topic is IBM Integration Bus, What's New? Today's presenters are Randy Miller and Kailash Perry. Randy is an advisory software engineer in the AIM division of IBM. He has held various hardware and software related positions in IBM over his 35-year career. Randy joined the WebSphere Message Broker L2 support team in 2001 and regularly assists clients in analyzing and resolving message broker issues. Kailash is also an advisory software engineer in the AIM division of IBM and has been working with L2 support since 2002. He supports customers worldwide on issues related to message broker and WebSphere service registry and repository products. Kailash has been working with message broker for the past 11 years and has been involved with the product since version 2.1. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Kailash. Kailash, you may begin.
Thank you, David. Good morning, everyone on the webcast, and welcome to the presentation. Before we start the presentation, I just want to let you all know that the purpose of this presentation is to give you a quick introduction of IBM Integration Bus. So we will cover the features of IBM Integration Bus at a very high level. In the future, we are going to have more WSTE sessions on topics that cover in depth. With that said, let me start with the agenda that we are going to follow today. First, we'll start with a brief history of the product, followed by a list of topics that are new in IBM Integration Bus version 9.0. We will talk about simplicity and productivity options that the product is going to provide, followed by business rules and options for .NET support, graphical data mapper, and enhancements in the web services area, SOA connectivity options that IIB provides, dynamic operation management, scalability and high performance options, and platform support, followed by some troubleshooting options. Okay, let's move on to slide number 3. All right, what's in a name? Before we talk technical aspects and issues, let's enjoy a bit of poetry, I guess. As the great Bard put it, what's in a name? That which we call a rose, by any other name, would smell as sweet. For all of you who have been associated with this product from 2.1 days or version 1.0, whether we called it MQ Integrator, WBIMB, or WMB, or IBM Integration Bus, or by any other name, in my opinion, it's still a fantastic product, and it's going to be even better with all the new features that are introduced in this version. So with that said, enough of poetry. Let's move on to slide number 4, and let me give you a brief history of the product. All right, as you see in the chart, the original version 1.0 was written by a company called Neon, or New Era of Networks. And that company was acquired by Sybase, and the product was rebranded as MQ Series Integrator, or MQSI, in 2001 and ran up to version 2.0. And in 2003, the product was added to the WebSphere family and rebranded as WebSphere MQ Integrator, or WMQI, at version 2.1. So in 2005, the version numbers became more synchronized with the rest of the WebSphere family and jumped to version 5.0. And we changed the name to WebSphere Business Integration Message Broker, WBIMB. This is the version where the development environment was redesigned using Eclipse, and support for web services was introduced or integrated into the product. In 2007, version 6.0 of the product was released, and it is renamed as WebSphere Message Broker, or WMB. All right. In 2009, version 7.0 of WMB was released, and in October 2011, version 8.0 of WMB was released. So it has been some time, we stuck with the same name, so we decided to give the product a new name with lots of new functionality. So here we are with IBM Integration Bus version 9.0. With that piece of history, let's move on to slide number 5, and Randy will start with the theme of simplicity and productivity. Randy?
Okay. Hey, thanks, Kailash. Thanks, everybody, for joining today's broadcast. We're going to start a little bit by talking about simplicity and productivity. And let me just say that customers are always asking for products that are simple to use while providing the functionality that they need. It's kind of a simple statement, but it's very difficult to deliver on that. So in the next few upcoming slides, we'll cover service discovery, performance analysis, and business rules, which will hopefully give you some of the tools to more easily develop and maintain your solutions. So with that, let's move on to slide 6, please. Okay, when I talk about IIB improvements in the area of service discovery, I'm talking specifically about the addition of the database service and the MQ service. The database service is used to make database operations accessible within a message flow and to external applications calling a message flow. So let me describe a little bit about the actual service itself. It's a service that defines an interaction between IIB and a database, in its simplest form. It's created by way of a new database service editor that's in the toolkit now. And this steps you through the complete process of creating the database service, which involves specifying the database, identifying a specific resource or table, identifying a particular operation, and all the bits and pieces needed to define an interaction with a database. Okay, once the service is defined, it can be drag and dropped onto a compute node, which in turn results in ESQL procedures being created, which can then be used. A big benefit with defining the services as compared to previously is that it's easy once they're in place to reuse the service across a number of different nodes. So now there's a couple of things I'll say. Given the initial release of version 9, there's some restrictions with it initially. And those are that it can only be used or associated with a compute node currently. It can interact only with a DB2 database, and each database service can support operations for a single table in your database. Okay, you can have multiple operations, but only for a single table. Now, I suspect we'll see some of these restrictions lifted through further developments down the road, as sort of have been implied in some of the documentation. So I would sort of watch this space and expect to see some good things happen here. So let's move on to slide 7, please. Okay, the next one, we'll talk about MQ service. And this process invokes the new MQ service editor from within the toolkit, which then does the following. It connects to a local or remote queue manager. It discovers all queues associated with the queue manager. The editor then lets you choose between either one-way or request-response operation and then continues to walk you through all the various settings associated with node properties for a particular queue. Okay, so now once that's defined, you can drag and drop this service onto an MQ node to configure the node using those defined MQ properties for that particular service. So, and like the database service, there's indications that there will be some follow-up development activity down the road here as well. So, again, keep an eye on this space as we move forward. Okay, on to slide number 8, please. Okay, slide 8 talks a bit about some of the new version 9 functionality area of performance analysis. Version 9 now provides for message flow statistics via a web user interface. You can now easily analyze integration performance in real time, or you can collect and export CSV formatted data for post-analysis using a spreadsheet product. The real-time display includes both integration diagrams and data tables, as the image shows, which allows for easy drill down to understand detailed behavior. All right, you can use Firefox, Internet Explorer 10, Safari, and some of the other top browsers to invoke the UI. Now, I would recommend that you actually go to our Statement of Environment page to see a complete listing of the supported browsers, just to avoid any kinds of issues there. And with that, I'd like to request slide number 9 and turn the presentation back to Kailash. Kailash?
All right. We're on slide number 9, and let's talk about business rules. One of the things that you can do with IBM Integration Bus version 9 is you can write your own business rules in a natural language. You create a decision service, which is nothing but a collection of business rules, and use those rules to process messages. How is this done? There is a decision service node that executes the rules that you have defined or created, and based on the rules, you can validate, transform, or route messages. So you will create the business rules using the IIB toolkit or the WebSphere Operational Decision Manager or WADM technology. You can also import these rules from an ODM repository. So once these business rules are defined, you can use them to update your business logic that is applied to processing messages in case like your business logic changes or business conditions change. So for every decision service that you create in IIB, you will write the business rules using the decision service editor with the vocabulary you define. And all these rules that you write are written using a business action language, which is like described in detail in the info center. I suggest that you take a look at how to write these rules and what syntax that you can use, so on and so forth. With that said, let's move on to the next slide, slide number 10. All right, .NET support. Version 9.0, or IIB, provides new patterns and samples for MS Dynamics and MSMQ, all right? And there is a SAP CRM pattern for customer account synchronization. You can use the static SAP input pattern to process SAP BAPI messages that are received by a synchronous RFC and map them into CRUD operations to use standard Microsoft Dynamics CRM account entities. You can also use this pattern if you require SAP customer BAPI accounts to operate on an account entity in MS Dynamics CRM. And there is an advanced CRM pattern that will enable dynamic graphical mapping. You can also read from an MSMQ and map them to an MQ series queue. Okay, let's move on to the next slide, slide number 11, and talk more about .NET support. The .NET input node provides an easier way to drive message flows that can receive data from a Microsoft applications that have either .NET or COM interfaces. So this is an enhancement or build up on Microsoft .NET framework feature that most of you are familiar with in version 8.0 of this product. So with this feature, you can host and run .NET applications and code inside IIB. So the .NET input node provides templates for C#, Visual Basic, and Visual F# for Microsoft Visual Studio. So you can use them to retrieve messages from MQ and receive requests from MS Dynamics CRM or periodically read an Excel file. And you can also use the .NET service enablement for mobile applications. There are a couple of excellent examples that demonstrate this pattern in the Info Center along with video tutorials. Basically, this pattern will show you how you can integrate or how you can use IIB to integrate with Microsoft .NET applications. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 12, graphical mapping. With integration, IBM integration version 9.0, you now have the ability to call a stored procedure from within a graphical data map. So you can use the database routine transform to call a database stored procedure. There is a database definition file wizard which will let you create the database file definitions. And you can use the database routine to transform and return transform to construct input and output mappings. So the only limitation at this point is you can use this with only DB2 database. As Randy mentioned, there's much going on, and in the future you need to watch this space so that it'll be implemented for other databases as well. With that said, let's move on to slide number 13. And some of the recent web services enhancements for improved reliability and security are listed here. IDNs. You can now use non-English host names in web browsers in countries where English is not the preferred language. SSL client authentication selection key. You can now specify a key alias in SSL-based nodes that can be used by the JSSE layer for a key in the key store for a specified connection. Inbound and outbound support for multiple personal certificates. If you are sending application, you can dynamically specify what certificate is used to identify IBM integration bus to an external application. And if you are a receiving application, you can dynamically select the certificate to apply to an incoming request. HTTP basic auth support. This feature is enhanced to more closely adhere to the basic auth specification. And support for multiple KSPs in a single broker. In previous versions, we had a restriction of one KSP per broker host. That restriction is now lifted. You can define a KSP per broker and per execution group. And support for CRLs on SSL requests. When IIB is acting as an HTTP provider, you can now configure IIB to check the CRLs. Okay? Moving on to the next slide, slide 14, universal connectivity for SOA, IBM Business Process Manager integration. You can use IBM BPM with IBM Integration Bus. You can make use of patterns and samples from IBM Integration Bus to implement BPM integration services. And the IBM Integration Administration for WebSphere Application Server, the WAS admins can now start, stop integration servers, execution groups, applications, or message flows by using the WebSphere Integrated Solutions Console. So basically, who can do this? That you can specify by, like, you know, in the role-based security model of the IIB, you can assign individuals who can start and stop flows or start and stop execution groups, on and so forth. All right, application-to-application integration. Version 9 of IIB can receive events that are generated from WebSphere application server by using a local mapping service that can intercept web service client requests. All right, and coordinated transactions for KIX requests. KIX request nodes support one-phase commit coordinated transactions, which means that multiple requests to a KIX server can be handled as a part of the same transaction and will be committed or backed out together depending on the outcome of the message flow. KIX activity logging. The KIX activity log provides a high-level overview of the most recent transactions between IBM Integration Bus and KIX. Moving on to the next slide, slide 14, I'll hand it over back to Randy. Sorry, 15, for Randy, for dynamic operation management.
Thanks, Kalash. Dynamic operations management, the first item here deals with workload management within that sort of general heading, and workload management can be thought of as the IIB traffic cop. It enables system administrators to monitor and adjust the speed that messages are processed. It also gives them the ability to initiate actions on unresponsive flows and threats. And there's basically four pieces to this. So the first is message flow notification. And this allows system administrators to set a notification threshold for individual message flows deployed. And this basically monitors the speed that messages are being received by the flow. All right, and there's two thresholds that can be set. One's an out-of-range threshold, and then one is a back-in-range threshold. Okay, and so this is all handled sort of via PubSub, and you would set up a particular threshold. You would subscribe to a specific topic associated with that particular threshold, and then you would basically set up a flow that could send out an email alert if you wanted to once these things were received in a certain period of time or whatever. So that's kind of the way that works. The next is setting the maximum rate for a message flow. And what this does is it monitors the speed that messages are consumed by the flow. All right, and this is irrespective of number of instances, number of input nodes, or number of errors that occur. Okay, so it's sort of a high-level overview of the entire flow itself. And if necessary, a processing delay is introduced to ensure that the rate of messages being processed is less than the maximum flow rate setting. Okay, and part of why you'd want to do this would be to sort of control or to reserve resources for possibly other higher priority flows. All right, so this is just one way of sort of putting a control on a flow to process at a rate that you specify. Okay, next is unresponsive message flows. This enables you to specify and monitor the maximum amount of time that any message flow is allowed to process a message for, and to specify an action to be taken if the timeout is exceeded. Okay, so some new capabilities have been added which allows for either manually forcing a message flow to stop or to automatically control this. And previously, the only course of action was to terminate and restart the execution group, which obviously would result in a larger outage situation or would affect more flows that weren't necessarily hung. Okay, and lastly, a system administrator can now specify a workload management policy for a message flow. Okay, setting a policy has the advantage in that it encompasses all the properties available under workload management in one place, and therefore allows for easier tuning of the message flow performance. All right, now specific policy actions that can be taken would be to either notify, to delay, or to redirect if so desired. So given that, let's go ahead and move on to slide number 16, please. Okay. An earlier requirement that is making its appearance in version 9 pertains to brokers running on the ZOS platform. On ZOS, each execution group runs as a task, and prior to version 9, each task took on the service ID of the parent process. And so all execution groups had the same service ID. I mean, that's fine and good as long as you're okay with all execution groups having the same access to each other's resources. With version 9, an alternate service ID can be set via environment variables set in the admin agent or the main task's environment file. All right, and there's three variables. There's a fixed, a multi, and a default that can be specified. And you can specify several of these, and there's sort of orders that they go through as well. So to override the started task JCL for all execution groups, unless one of the other variables apply to it. Okay, so having these variables now allow you to point to one or more execution groups and then have that actually reference a particular started task JCL, and then there be a different user ID associated with that set. So in the case of multi, for instance, the execution group name is interpreted as a wild card. So in my example, I've got test EG, all right? So that would basically apply to execution groups with labels of test EG, EG1, EG2, and et cetera. So that's just one way of having a group of execution groups use a particular started task, okay? And then there would be a single ID also associated with that group, okay? So you can control resource access by that means. Okay, so given that, I'm now happy to turn this back to Kailash as I request slide number 17, please.
All right, scalability and high performance. One of the themes for Broker over these years is ensuring that Broker can scale well and perform well. And version 9 is no exception. We have seen many customers deploying Broker on 256 core machines, and there was engineering required to enable that. Given that, there were many focus areas in version 9 of increasing improvement. All right? Embedded cache extensions, external cache, expiry, and SSL support. Embedded cache extensions you can use to store data that you want to reuse later. All right? And flexible cloud provisioning with IWS, SES, and Pure System, including Pure Power support. All right? So you can provision with smart cloud application services, so on and so forth. And you can also host WebSphere Extreme Scale container services in multi-instance brokers with IIB. Moving on to the next slide, slide number 18, platforms and environments. So on this deck, I'm showing the different platforms and environments that IIB is supported on. As you can see, IIB is supported on a wide variety of platforms and operating systems, and some of the key ones are listed here. We are now 64-bit on all platforms, and 32-bit support is still available, but for development purposes only. And if and when this goes away, most of the customers will be notified because it's only used for development anyway. And with version 9, we now support Windows 8 and Windows Server 2012. And also, we have upped the level of .NET CLR to version 4.5 that's included on Windows. And over the years, we have seen a lot of customers are no longer deploying directly to an operating system, but are moving to virtualized technologies, whether it's a private cloud or a public cloud, or managed deployment like IBM Workload Deployer, or managed and hosted environments through IBM Pure Systems. So we are supplying product images that work on almost everything, like Pure Systems, Smart Cloud, Microsoft Azure, or Amazon systems, that to name a few. All right, let's move on to slide number 19. And continuing with platforms and environments, as you can see, IBM Integration Bus includes access to a full range of industry standard databases like DB2, Sybase, Oracle, SQL Server, SolidDB, Informix, so on and so forth. We also support Unix ODBC open drivers, and support for JDBC is still continuing. And with version 9, we have incorporated WebSphere adapter technology at no additional cost. So in previous editions, if you were to connect to SAP, Siebel, PeopleSoft, or JD Edwards, you needed to have a separate license. So that's no longer the case. It's provided with the product at no extra charge. And we now support Java 7, and MQ 7.5 is a prereq on all platforms except on ZOS. And for a complete list of detailed system requirements, I would suggest that you go to the URL listed for the platform that you're running on. Let's go to slide number 20, and Randy will talk about problem determination.
Okay, thanks, Kalash. Troubleshooting and support. Being on the receiving end of a lot of PMRs here, we routinely analyze the data for common issues that can be addressed by product enhancements. So one such area is with Linux and Unix users configuring their ODBC environments. We've seen quite a bit of problems in that general area. So MQSI CVP is a component verification program that has been enhanced in a couple of different ways. Okay, one way is that MQSI CVP actually runs as part of MQSI Start being run. Okay, and it now performs basic ODBC environment checking. So it looks for the presence of environment variables. It looks at the contents of those variables. It checks to see that it exists, and it also checks to see that there's permissions for the ID to access it. Okay, and when that MQSI CVP is run in standalone mode, all right, it now checks basic connectivity for all ODBC INI data sources that have been made known to the broker via MQSI SetDB PARMs. Okay. What we see is that oftentimes errors occur due to miscellaneous changes that happen in the middle of the night that no one knows about, it seems. And these get detected at the runtime, okay, when the broker is unable to connect to the database. It's definitely more difficult to isolate and resolve issues detected at runtime than it is if we can force that same issue outside of runtime. And so what we would ask is that, you know, if you do have database connectivity issues, you know, sort of fall back and run the MQSI CVP, see if it identifies the same issue, and then go forward with problem termination from that point. So with that said, I'm going to go ahead and pass the presentation back to Kailash for slide number 21.
Thanks, Randy. Okay, slide number 21. There, I have included a couple of slides on migration for people who are migrating from previous versions of Broker. It's just an introduction. By no means this is a comprehensive list. So you can, as you can see, you can migrate from version 6.1, version 7, or version 8. And all your development assets like your message flows, ESQL, Daffodils, Java, XSLT, or message maps, they can be imported directly into version 9.0. And you can migrate brokers using a single command, or you can create new brokers for phased migration. You also don't need to redeploy artifacts if you are using built-in migration commands. They are migrated automatically. And as for the bar files are concerned, they are compatible across versions. So if you have a bar file that's been generated in any of the previous versions, you can deploy those bar files directly from earlier versions into IIB version 9.0. And the in-place migration includes migration of your configuration data that includes the broker database, your registry, and the queues. You can migrate or reverse a migration using the MQSI migrate components command. Okay? Let's move on to the next slide, slide number 22, and talk about some more migration notes. You now have the flexibility or flexible coexistence options so that you don't need additional hardware. For example, if you're running like two different versions, you don't need to like do additional hardware for migration. All right, and IIB version 9.0 can be installed on the same operating system with other versions of the broker, so it can coexist. And as I mentioned earlier slides, MQ7.5 is a prereq except on ZOS, where 7.1 is still compatible. And for customers who are running WebSB mediation flows, we now have built-in conversion tools. So there are these two slides on migration, as I mentioned, is just to give you an overview of what is available. We have a webcast or a WSTE coming up in 2 weeks, mainly focusing on migration details. So I think that's the end of the presentation, so we'll move on to slide number 23. For a quick recap of what we have discussed. As you can see on the slide, we talked about a brief history of the product, and we talked about the simplicity and productivity enhancements, .NET support, business rules, graphical data mapping, web services enhancements, universal connectivity for SOA options, dynamic operation management, and platforms and support, and troubleshooting. So I guess that's it. Welcome to IBM Integration Bus version 9.0, and thank you all for attending today's session. I will now hand it over to David, and we'll be back for the question and answer session. And Randy said like he'll take all the questions today. Thank you.
Thank you.
David?
Thank you, Randy and Kailash, for a great presentation. Moving on to slide 24, there are some additional WebSphere product resources, which we hope you could find useful. And finally, moving on to slide 25, don't forget to connect with us. You could be notified about upcoming webcasts related to the product and topics discussed today by subscribing to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange mailing list. Simply send an email to wsehelp@us.ibm.com with the subject WSTE Subscribe. Also, if there's a topic you would like to see scheduled, or if you have any comments that would help us improve our future webcasts, please let us know at that same email address. You could also connect with us through our Facebook page and our Twitter account. Talk to us and let us know how we can make this program even better for you. We welcome any ideas that you may have. Thanks again for your participation. At this time, we would like to open the lines for questions.
Ramakrishna Vanapali, your line is open.
Hi. We are using ESB, WebSphere Enterprise Service Bus, and I know there are some migration scripts that's coming up to migrate the mediation flows to the WebSphere message broker flows. So I would like to understand, is there any technical documentation that's coming up, or why was it not presented in this conference? Because most of the migration presentations I see are towards migrating from the existing broker to the new integration bus.
Right. Like I said at the beginning of the presentation, this is going to be an overview. In a couple of weeks, we have a WSTE coming up specifically to address migration. And one of the things is, if you look at the info center, there are like documents that explain how to convert WSB mediation flows into IIB 9.0 flows. And basically, it's all done automatically. Once, like, you know, it's a wizard that will take you through the mediations and will convert them. So there is not, like, you know, much that you need to do for that.
Okay. But how about migration of the complex mediation flows? So let's say we have a compute node which has a Java code in it and has a couple of XSLTs, and it also has a WTX mapping node. We'd like to understand how complex migration can be done, because we really have some of the most complex mediation integrations currently.
What I suggest you do is, like, you know, if you go in, once you install IIB and convert the mediation flows, if you have any issues, and you can always certainly you can open a PMR and we'll address that via those channels.
Okay, great. And the last question is, like, is integration service bus for developer edition, is it available currently?
I have to check on that, Ramakrishna. I'm not. When you
okay.
say developer edition, what exactly you mean?
There is a developer edition available for Message Broker version 8, so that it has limited features, but still it is good for the developers to get hands feel, develop some message flows, and the flows can be exported into Project Interchange, and they can be imported into the licensed Message Broker Design Studio later. But in order to get a feel of what Message Broker looks like, there was a developer edition for version 8. So, and I have seen some blogs and the forums saying, like, there is a developer edition available for integration bus version 9. But eventually, if we go to the website, it still shows to download the Message Broker version 8.
We expect to sort of have a full complement of products out there. And so if you do go to a location where you'd expect to find it and don't, just go ahead and open a PMR with us, and we'll investigate it and get that resolved.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you. I'm done.
All right. Thanks, Ramakrishna.
Sure.
Blakely Cooper, your line is open.
Hello, everyone. I just had a couple of quick questions. I did join the meeting a couple of minutes late, so you may have mentioned this. We're currently running version 7, but considering an upgrade. Can you migrate directly from version 7 to the new product of version 9?
Yes.
You can. Okay. Also, is this platform still running IBM's Eclipse Space Framework?
Yes.
And in version 8, you guys started to do away with bar files. In version 9, will you be granted the opportunity to also convert your bar files later on in version 9? Because I know you were kind of starting to phase bar files out in version 8.
I don't think so. I mean, even in version 8, like, you know, we still have bar files.
Okay.
So that has not changed.
Okay.
That's the reason why I said, like, you know, bar files are compatible across versions.
Okay.
Across supported versions, because I know there were some changes between version 5.0 and 6.0 bar files on 6.0 and 6.1. But once, like, you know, you are on the supported version 6.1 onwards, the bar file compatibility has been maintained.
Okay.
And if you're not on a supported version, all the migration path is always like to move to a supported version and from that version to 9.0.
Okay, got you.
You know, I'd expect that there'd be a section in the toolkit as well, or in the info center as well, talking about migration of toolkit resources. So I'd direct you there to see if you can find what you're looking for. You know, they usually do a pretty good job of getting from one area to the next, and there's usually a big focus on migration since everybody needs to do it at some point.
Okay. I'll definitely check that out. And for version control, are you still able to integrate with products like CVSNT and TeamForge in this release? None of that changes.
I'm not sure about version control because I know that we definitely work with CVS and other things, but I'm not sure about TeamForge and all.
Okay, got you. And my last question is just a two-part question. By any chance, I was doing some research. Do you know when version 7 will be out of support, and is version 9 available now for use?
Yes, version 9 is available for use. And version 7, if you go onto our product support page, on the right-hand side, there is a life cycle of all the products. It will give you when it is taken out of support.
Yeah, I don't believe that they've actually identified when that's going to go out of support yet.
Yeah, it wasn't a defined date.
Yeah, so it's still TBD as far as we know. We don't really know.
Okay.
Yep.
Thanks for all your help, guys.
Sure.
Hi.
Mm-hmm. We have no further questions queuing up. Thank you.
Thank you. We do have a few questions in the group chat. The first one is a separate WODM license required for the business rules?
I have to check on that because I don't think it is, but I could be wrong. I will check on that, and if you can drop me a note, I will definitely respond to you.
Yeah, I just put slide number 1 up, which has Kailash's and Randy's email addresses. So if you could send a note to him, he'll be able to contact you back with that information. And then the second question, did IBM have any POC of IBM Integration Bus version 9?
What exactly are they looking for?
They're wondering if IBM had any proof of concept.
I mean, we have been running on beta versions. Like, you know, many customers were invited to beta programs. So proof of concepts are done, like, you know, at specific customer sites for specific things. So I'm not sure what the question really meant.
Okay. If this person wants to follow up with Kailash with more details, his email address is on the first slide.
Yeah, usually for a new version, we do sort of life cycle testing. All right, so before we do a GA, so I would expect that the teams over in Hursley have done everything that they wanted to do to the product to get it to the point where they're satisfied with the way it's performing. and then couple that with beta customers for more specific user-type scenarios to add to the visibility.
Okay, thank you. And the next question, when is the full version scheduled to release?
It's been released a couple of weeks back.
Yeah, I thought so. And then another question, when are trainings scheduled for this product?
Interesting question.
I'm not with the training department, but definitely whosoever asked this question can follow with the education team and see when and if they have sessions scheduled. And I'm sure that there will be.
All right. Thank you. And then the next question, is the migration from version 6.1 like the version 8?
Yes. I've already answered to Nuno that
all
it
right.
It's a straightforward migration, just like 6.1 to 8.
Okay. Thank you. And then another question, how can one join these beta invites?
They are typically announced on the support page. If you go to the support page and look for beta programs, they will be there. And, if somebody is looking for the next beta program, if you look at the history of Message Broker, every 2 years there's a release. So probably, look in the next year and a half.
Yeah, pretty much everything associated with the product formally gets announced through the product support page.
Okay,
I would certainly look there for references to beta programs, and there would probably be links and forms and things like that there.
They can also talk to their account reps who will make sure that they get on the list for beta programs.
Right. Okay, thanks. And then is the runtime environment broker runtime with execution groups like how it was in other versions?
Yes.
Yeah, it's being renamed, but basically the underlying components and whatnot are still very similar to what they were in version 8. So execution groups and all that conceptual stuff is still in place for version 9, even though we're calling it IIB instead of broker-based.
Okay, thank you. And then the next question, we have version 7. Do we need to buy a license for version 9?
Yes.
Okay. And then the next question, since version 9 migrates to the existing ESB customer, can the EAR or BAR be deployed in WebSphere application server?
There is, underlying... It will not how to phrase this question. I don't think the EAR files can be deployed directly onto IIB because there is a WebSphere integrated console, but it is not the full blown application server.
Okay, thank you. And then one more question, which was already asked by someone else and you responded. Do we need to buy separate licenses to migrate to version 9? And the answer to that was yes.
Yeah, licensing questions, typically it's better suited for the account reps because they know more about how licensing works than the support personnel. You throw a problem at us, we'll work the problem. We don't know, how the revenue flows and what's involved typically.
And
okay.
In past versions as well, there's been sort of a trial mode type of product that could be downloaded and used for a period of time. I would expect that same thing would be true with version 9 as well. So, and you could find that, references to that on our product page.
Right. Thank you. Then another question, can we deploy Spring-based applications?
When you say Spring-based application, can they be more specific? Is it using Spring jars, or is it an existing Spring framework that's being used in the Java Compute nodes? what exactly they mean by spring-based application.
Right.
I actually, that was posed in the chat also. I'll respond.
Yes, that's where I got that. And he's responding, spring web-based application.
To be honest, I'm not sure at this point. I have to, like, you know, check what kind of Spring web-based application.
Okay.
If Rahul can send me a note, like, you know, that would be great.
Okay. Wonderful. At this time, there are no more questions in the group chat. How about on the phone line?
We have no one else queuing up, sir.
All right. Thank you. So we have no more questions. At this time, we will conclude the presentation. We hope the information presented today has been valuable to you. We appreciate your participation, and we hope you'll join us for future presentations, which will be announced on the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange site. Remember, a replay of today's presentation will also be available on this site in the next day or two. Thanks very much for joining us today, and thank you, Randy and Kailash, for presenting today.
Thank you, David.
Thanks a lot. Yep.
This does conclude today's conference. Thank you all for your participation, and all parties may disconnect at this time.
Awesome.